Blog Talk Radio.
Happy Friday, people. Welcome to the Friday edition of the Hollywood Hustle Show. I am your host, Nye McGee, a.k.a. Nye Hollywood, coming live and direct from Hollywood. It's nice and warm and hot and sunny and bright today, and I feel like going down to the beach. I feel like going down to the beach and breaking out my new Nikon camera and taking some photos of the hot bods, taking a few flicks of the ocean, the vast blue ocean. You know, Hollywood is such a... if you've never been here, okay, the best way that I can describe the city freak to you is it truly is its own character, its own personality. I mean, you can walk out of your house and see any number of people dressed as your favorite comic book character, your favorite superhero, and they're actually going to work. Not necessarily that they're actors. They could be struggling actors, or they could just be going to post up on Hollywood Boulevard waiting for tourists to pass them by and request photos with the superhero and the actor dressed as the superhero charges $1 per photo. Now, if you've never been to Hollywood, that's something you should know. If you're thinking about coming to Hollywood this summer with your family, with your friends, and of course everyone goes to Hollywood Boulevard because you want to take photos of the Hollywood Walk of Fame, right? Well, on Hollywood Boulevard, which stretches for several blocks, you know, the Hollywood Walk of Fame stretches for several blocks, you'll see any number of characters out there from, and now that, you know, Wonder Woman is the number one movie in the world, right? There are lots of Wonder Women out there. Of course, don't be alarmed if they range in age from like 20 to 80, because listen, everybody's out here hustling. The 80-year-old Wonder Woman needs her rent pay too. So if you stop the 80-year-old or the 60-year-old or the 20-year-old Wonder Woman or Batman or Spider-Man or Iron Man, because they're all out there, and Hulk Hogan, I actually know Hulk Hogan. The Hulk. I know the actor who's dressed up, who plays the Hulk out there on the boulevard. You should know that if you want a photo with them, they are going to charge a dollar. And some of them, you know, they're about that life. In other words, if you deny them that dollar, they will pick a fight. They will chase you down the street. They will become unruly. I'll tell you a story. A couple years ago, when I was living right on the boulevard, my friend who plays the Hulk, who dresses up as the Hulk, I should say, he will remain nameless. I won't put his name out there. But he some years ago, the Jimmy Kimmel Show used to feature the Hollywood Boulevard heroes. Now, if you're a longtime fan of Jimmy Kimmel Show, perhaps you saw this segment on his show some years ago, maybe two, three, four, 5 years ago. No, it wasn't two or three, maybe 4 or 5 years ago. Jimmy Kimmel, his show taped at the Pantages Theater. Is it the Pantages or the Disney Theater? Disney Theater over there off of Hollywood Boulevard, which is right across the street from Man's Chinese Theater. Jimmy Kimmel used to invite some of the Hollywood Boulevard superheroes onto his show for a segment. One of the more popular of the group, of course, was Batman. Now, what you have to understand about a lot of these cat characters on the Hollywood Boulevard, a lot of them are they're people trying to get them down on their luck individuals, former addicts or current addicts. Some of them are street hustlers. Some of them live on the street. Some of them come from group homes. A lot of them have just had a hard life. Now, I won't say all, but a lot of them, okay? And Batman's little group, Batman, Spider-Man, and the Hulk, there are three guys, the guys who play these characters back in the day. I think they're probably new cats out there now. You know, they were like a little crew. You know what I'm saying? The trifecta. The guy who played Batman was a regular feature on this Jimmy Kimmel segment. One day, Kimmel decided he wasn't going to have Batman on the show anymore for whatever reasons. Maybe he wanted to profile Spider-Man. I'm not sure. All I know is, I should say I'm not sure. I just don't remember that detail. What I remember is my friend who played the Hulk coming to my home one day, running to my house because he didn't have a cell phone, and I lived right off the boulevard, and he's banging on the door, and he's dressed up in his Hulk suit. It's 100 degrees outside, and he's like, let me in. I need to take a little smoke break. I need to have a drink because, you know, I had a little mini bar. And I'm like, well, what's the matter, Hulk? I just had to call the police. I had to call the Jimmy Kimmel show to alert them that Batman was on his way to the studio with a gun to shoot Jimmy Kimmel. But why? Why is Batman on his way to the studio to shoot Jimmy Kimmel? Well, because Jimmy Kimmel decided he no longer wanted to feature Batman on the superhero segment. He wanted to now profile one of the other characters, Spider-Man, whoever it was. I really don't remember. And Batman popped off. Batman decided he was going to go home, got his gun, told the Hulk, my friend, that he was on his way to the Kimmel show to blow Kimmel's brains out. This is a true story, guys. My friend had to call Kimmel show, the producers, to warn them that Batman was on his way to the studio to go postal on everyone, on set. I think that was the beginning of the end of the Kimmel superhero segment on the show. Clearly, I think the Batman was arrested. He was never invited back on the show, and I don't think any of them were. So long story short, if you're coming to, the moral of the story is, again, as I started off, if you're coming to Hollywood this summer and you see the characters out there, don't be alarmed, but don't deny them that dollar if they ask you to pay up when you ask for that photo, because that's how they make their money. That is their hustle here in Hollywood. Everybody is out here hustling. Hollywood Hustle Show every Wednesday and Friday. If you missed the Wednesday show, I talked about how I had the opportunity to meet and talk to Miss Queen Oprah. That's right, Oprah Winfrey on Monday. My story, my coverage about Oprah will be coming up next week. I spoke to her and Ava DuVernay, who's my girl crush, I should say. Rumor has it that Oprah and Ava are lovers. Have you guys heard this? And that Gail was a little jealous? I mean, I buy it. I believe it. I don't know for a fact. I've asked some of my colleagues, and they've all said, I've heard it, and I believe it. But, you know, Oprah's so low-key. Oprah's not out, taking her lovers out in public and making out with them, right? We don't hear that story. She may be taking her lovers out in public, but we don't hear her out with her lovers. We don't hear tales of Oprah and her lovers huddled up in a corner at some A-list event getting their smooch on. But I have heard that about Jada Pinkett Smith and Kelly Rowland. Word on the street is that Kelly Rowland is lesbian, bisexual. She takes her lover everywhere. She leaves the husband at home and takes the lover. Anytime she can take her female lover out, allegedly, she does. Remember, we have to throw the word allegedly into the mix so we don't get sued. I'm your host, Nye McGee, a.k.a. Nye Hollywood. I'm an entertainment reporter by day, screenwriter by night, hustling my way through Hollywood until I land the big score. And what is the big score, people? My name and bright lights on the big screen, of course. My Hollywood Hustle Show is here to help content creators and their stars take their craft to the next level. As you know, I'm here every Wednesday and Friday at 12 p.m. Pacific. That's 2 o'clock if you are in the Midwest, Chicago to be exact, which is where I'm from. 3 o'clock if you're on the East Coast, and God knows what time it is in other parts of the world, but if you are tuned in, I thank you. On this Freaky Freestyle Friday show, I'm all about spilling the tea about what Hollywood is whispering behind the scenes regarding the latest celebrity headlines. Of course, if there's something you want to talk about, you can call me up, 646-668-8342. We will not have an Indy 15 show today with Redbeard. I think he is going to be back with us next week. The Indy 15 show, as you know, maybe you don't know, we profile, highlight, or invite onto this show artists, creative people, content creators, and their stars. Whether you are a writer, actor, producer, or director, we invite you onto our show to talk about your hustle And so far, we've had a lot of fabulous guests on the show. There's a Facebook gal I'm trying to book, which I won't even go into that right now. I just thought of her as I'm speaking of it. There's a Facebook girl on the show. Are you guys following this girl? Charisse is her name. Kind of fat white girl, but that's her shtick, right? That's the gag. She's trailer park trash, white trash, but that's her shtick. I'm not calling her white trash. That's her brand. She is all about being the raunchiest, the most rude, the most inappropriate. She's a comedian, and I'm absolutely in love with her. I hit her up. She has a huge following on social media. I hit her up about being a guest on the show. She said yes, of us setting a time. So, Charisse, darling, if you're listening, right, to get an idea of what I'm all about, get back to me about that time. Today, guys, what I want to do, right, you know your girl here, Nye McGee. I'm a writer for several outlets. EURweb.com is one of them. And on that site, we post blind items, celebrity blind items, right? Here on the homepage of blogtalkradio.com / my Hollywood hustle, if you scroll down at the bottom of the page to the comments section, what you will see is a link to the blind items that I've been posting on EURweb.com. Okay? You can go to that link, read through some of the blind items, because I'm going to be sharing some of the reveals to those blind items on the hour today. So if there's a couple of blind items on there that you want to know, if you see something you want to know, who is she talking about here? Who is this about? What's who, you know, and you want to know the answer, call me up, read it, call me up. The call line 646-668-8342, and we'll get to the answers. You know, we'll get to the answers. I have a caller here. It says restricted. Let's do, you know, you're right now I'm going to go to you, caller. Normally I like to announce the area code so you know that I'm coming to you, but the call is restricted. I'm not sure who it is. Restricted caller, you are live on the Hollywood Hustle Show. I'm Nye Hollywood. Who is this?
Hey, how you doing? It's Chris. I'm calling from California. It's 310 area code.
How you doing, Chris? Thanks for calling into the Hollywood Hustle Show.
I'm doing pretty good. Just enjoying my weekend. I can't really complain, right? I mean, it's Friday.
Well, right on now. Are you calling in to speak to me, or are you just calling in to listen?
Oh, I'm calling in to speak with you. Usually, I tune into the Indie Channel right about now. But
well, right on.
We got a couple questions there. You mentioned there that you're into the Hollywood. You're getting into the screenwriting and whatnot.
Absolutely.
Yeah, it's a hard rack to get into. I mean, as we all know, I know you've touched on it in your podcast a couple times, but it's easy to say, suffice to say, that the Jews are the ones in control there in Hollywood. And it's more so of a gang of them that are the ones controlling behind the scenes, as you could probably agree. These leaders have been doing for a long time. Now, do you ever have any problems, and is that something that you deal with on a regular basis?
Well, that is a great question. I see you're bringing the controversy to the hour today. I love it. A very hot topic to the. I'll tell you this. I am very familiar with this area. Okay. I personally haven't had the experience. Okay. I know
mm-hmm.
several friends who have, right?
Yeah.
As me personally, as a black female writer, my challenge seems to be, and my black female writer friends say the same thing, we're just automatically put in a box because we're black and we're female. So no matter who we
mm-hmm.
approach, even within our own community, we're met with challenges and resistance. And if our work is not centered around a black male and pleasing the black male and taking care of the black male, or if our existence isn't plagued with issues that involve the black male, no one wants to talk to us, okay? Now,
mm-hmm.
My white friends, with regards to, you know, the Jewish control over the industry, what I've heard from my white colleagues with regards to that is specifically when they've had representation, okay, in the form of agents or managers, they don't do shit for them. My white writer friends, who tend to have a little bit more success, they all seem to share the common theme of, we find that we have to go out and do the work ourselves because nobody's helping us. You know, we're paying these agents and these managers, and they're not doing what we're paying them to do, right? Now, if we really want to break down the whole Jewish control of Hollywood, the conversation that I seem to have with a lot of colleagues, black, white, male, and female, and again, these are just conversations that I'm having with people, and maybe you feel the same way, I'm not sure, but a lot of my colleagues seem to think that those who control the industry, those who control Hollywood, are pushing a anti-white male agenda. And I'm not sure I agree with that. What do you think?
Well, I mean, well, hot damn, what an answer. First of all, I mean, you're right. The stereotype about these black women writers and, you know, all these other people of color and other ethnicities. Now, that's all just a fabrication that's made up, just like a lot of the news you see today in the media, all by the same group of these them there Jews. Now, this band has come together and they're running the show behind the scenes. They're pushing in front of us these agendas, like you said, the anti-white male agenda, which is pretty much dead on, smack on to the point there, because you're so right. I mean, they are pushing that agenda, and you can see it in the media today.
Mm-hmm. Well, and that's what I have a problem with to an extent, because as far as I can tell, okay, and speaking creatively, white men still control the industry. They still dominate the studio system. They still get a majority of the opportunities in terms of writing, directing, although the hierarchy in Hollywood, you may or may not know, goes as follows. White men on top, followed by white women, followed by black men, followed by black women.
Yeah.
Now, what's interesting so are businesses. Absolutely, absolutely. Now, what I see happening in when I turn on my television, what I turn on my news, my films, whatever the case may be, I'm not sure that I agree that there's an anti-white male agenda being pushed, but I do agree that there's an anti-blackness, an anti-black blackness being pushed. And I'll tell you what I've heard, to be honest with you. And anybody listening, if you're easily offended, you might, you know, maybe this is not the show for you, because I'm not here to offend anyone, but I am here to tell you about the conversations that are had behind the scenes. And what I have heard is not necessarily the Jews who are calling the shots 100% of the time. It's Arabs. From what I understand, it's the Arabs that have the full power and control in Hollywood. And they're the ones that are very anti-black. And they're the ones that push this very anti-black agenda. And in terms of anti-black, I mean, we're, you know, we rarely see positive images of black folks in narratively speaking. How often do you see black love couples? They're always interracial, you know? So I don't know. Have you heard that? Do you think that it's just a Jewish control issue? Have you heard about... Go ahead.
Yeah, well, I've never really heard anything too much about them Arabs in their control there in Hollywood, but I mean, I've seen firsthand the control and the deceit of the Jews in Hollywood. I'm not anti-Semitic in any way. I'm just pointing out the facts, plain and simple. Now, there's an agenda. This is happening. They're making and breaking stars as fast as they could be made, and the money brought in, you know what I'm saying? And if you fit that mold, and if you're willing to bend to their will and do whatever perverse and disgusting things they're asking, then you have a pretty good chance of making it in Hollywood.
Well, you know what? Let me piggyback off that, because I would have to agree with you on the perverse and disgusting. And I touch on that. I was just speaking to a colleague, a creative friend, a lot of people and listeners, I'm talking to you, there is a very dark side to Hollywood. The stories that you hear about the occult Hollywood, sex, blood sacrifices, as comical and amusing or entertaining or far-fetched as these stories may sound, they're very much true, people. I've heard, and listen, I'm not claiming that I believe everything that I hear, but depending on the source, I believe it. I've heard tales about bodies being buried on a certain movie director's property. I won't name his name, but if you want to know, people, you can hit me on the low. And all you got to do is go back to watch some old documentaries about the golden age of Hollywood, the old studio system and how they treated women and the law enforcement. You know, the old studio system had the law enforcement in their back pocket, okay? The LAPD worked hand-in-hand with, like, MGM.
Oh, it sure did.
You know what I'm saying? And a lot of these young starlets would come to Hollywood, and like you said, if they weren't willing to do perverse, disgusting acts, they were beaten into submission, and in some cases killed. And what happened to those bodies? Legend has it, a lot of them are buried on a lot of these lots, okay? And to go back to the disgusting and perverse acts you just spoke of, I have heard tales about, you know, the reality is, and whether you want to believe it or not, the reality is, and I was telling a friend of mine this yesterday, if you want to have some sort of success in Hollywood, depending on what you should do, what you want to do, right, act, direct, produce, you can have some level of success depending on how you define that success. For writers, maybe your success is just getting work in the office at a production studio. If you're a director, maybe you want to be a PA. Maybe you want to be an assistant director. Everybody's level of success in Hollywood is different. However, I'm of the belief.
I'll tell you that the so-called the cast and couch where those Jews, defile white women, promising to make them big stars, has been, you know, well known, as you said, a staple of that Jew-ridden Hollywood. And this includes pedophilia too. I've read one time, beloved child star Shirley Temple, as well, was only 11 years old when her mother and her went to the MGM studios to discuss the possibility of having Shirley Temple as Dorothy in The Wizard of Oz, believe it or not. And the Jewish producer, Arthur Freed, basically whipped out his penis and tried to get some kind of sexual thing happening there with the 11-year-old Shirley Temple.
Well, pedophilia is very much rife in Hollywood. Rape, sexual sacrifice is very much prevalent. Listen, guys, you don't get to, from what I've, the way it's been explained to me, you don't become an Angelina Jolie, you don't become a Denzel Washington, you know, Brad Pitt, you don't reach this level of A-list status without submission, without...
Well, as you know, it's well known that even the Backstreet Boys, and all these Corey Feldman, another Hollywood child star, I mean, they all come out admitting that they were in fact abused producers and their agents and their managers.
Absolutely, absolutely. And these people are protected. Whom these abusers, these pedophiles, these rapists. I told a story on the show a couple weeks ago about an actress. Who is it? I think it's Bella Thorne. Allegedly, and I have to say allegedly, people, I don't want to be sued, but word on the street is that Bella Thorne, the actress, has found out that a lot of her female friends, her actress friends, are doing the casting couch rounds. They're being raped by these producers. They're being sexually assaulted by these producers. Word on the street here is that Bella Thorne has, she's going around getting revenge. She knows these Hollywood producers. If they're at the same space, if they're at the same Hollywood events, she is drugging their cocktails. Apparently, she's gotten her hold of some sort of horse tranquilizer, some sort of animal tranquilizer that she's putting in the drinks of these men. They're unsuspecting. They don't know that she's doing it. They're just all becoming sick and going to the hospital, and they're all suffering the same ailments. But if this is true, I mean, kudos to her. You know, I'm not here to advocate violence or harm to anyone, but I don't support rapists and I don't support pedophilia. Now, my guest here that's calling in from L.A., what is your – are you a writer in Hollywood?
Well, I mean, I've had minor success as a writer of novels. I've been approached by a couple people about turning it into screenplay, but the image wasn't right for what I had done in there, what they were trying to portray my story as. They wanted to sex it up. They wanted to put in promiscuity, some kind of sex angle to appeal to people. I just wasn't really having it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I understand. Well, you know what? That's the direction that we're going in. Like, listen, the 1%, this whoever the man behind the curtain is, so to speak, in Hollywood, or just the 1% that dictates every level of society, controls the media, controls Hollywood. The agenda that they want to push onto society right now, if it's not depravity, if it's not death, if it's not murder, if it's not sex and drugs, no one is interested, you know? And that is from music, especially in hip hop, that's all they promote. You know, these white executives at these record labels, they're not going to promote or put money behind any black male artist or female artist who is speaking about love, romance, anything enlightening. It's all about penis, sex, drugs, you know. Same with our films. It's all depravity.
Yep, it's all they want. It's all they ever want. It's all they're ever looking for is just ass and tits and sex. You know, I mean, like I said, that's the Jew influence on Hollywood. I mean, it's been there ever since 20, and it's never going to give up, and it's never going to stop. It's only getting stronger and stronger.
It is only getting stronger and stronger, and the sad part about it is, ladies and gentlemen, and again, I'm not anti-Semitic at all, but the problem is the system that we live in, that if you talk about these issues, if you address these issues, if you even acknowledge these issues, just saying the word Jew gets you criticized, gets you labeled anti-Semitic, gets you labeled some sort of hater or racist, most especially.
Well, look at Mel Gibson, right? Look at Mel Gibson.
Exactly. Exactly.
He's back, though. He was just in the Academy Awards this year.
Right. My favorite actor, Gary Oldman. Well, that's a good question. How did that happen? How did Mel Gibson recover? How did he bounce back from that so-called anti-Semitic controversy? It certainly makes you wonder. Now,
it's all about the money.
Yeah.
How much money can they give?
It's all about the money. It's all about the money. I'm going to put you on hold right quick, my caller from L.A., because I want to get to something. I think I have my co-host here. Caller from L.A., if you're still there, stay on the line. I'll bring you back on in a minute if you want to get back on. But I thank you for calling in. I'll get back to you in a minute. 708, I wonder who it is joining us. Welcome to the show, Red.
You should already know it's your boy, the one and only Redbeard. What's cracking, y'all? Man, sorry that I'm late, but I am here. What's cracking? Is it Friday? It's Friday. Woo!
It's Friday. It's Tinseltown Tea. I had to put that caller on the line, on the hold right quick. I mean, wow, I didn't even know he was going to call. I didn't know that's how we were going to start the show today. And a lot of times
I
don't know if anybody...
Did I miss something?
Well, I don't know if you heard the caller that was just on. We have a gentleman on the line on hold. I don't know, no offense to this gentleman, but you never know if somebody's calling in to troll you, but he's calling in to talk about the Jewish control of Hollywood, which is the truth. Although I've heard that it's not even Jewish control of Hollywood. It's the Arabs that are controlling everything. Now, of course, anybody listening to the show, you probably tuned in because you want the scoop. You want the tea. I told you I was going to go through some blind items and give you some reveals. We have 30 minutes left in the show, and I put our caller on hold because I want to get some of our reveals, because I could talk to this caller for the full hour. I mean, he's really got my full attention here, right? Now, really quick, you guys, let me go through some of these reveals. If you're listening to the Hollywood Hustle Show, I'm your host, Nye Hollywood. Most recently, the first reveal, first blind item on the list, just today, I posted a reveal, a blind item over on EUR Web that reads as following. This A-list rapper is closeted. He is also HIV positive. It's going to be really interesting to see if he follows through on marrying the woman he calls his girlfriend. Now, people, don't shoot the messenger. I'm just telling you who I heard these blind items are about. These are alleged. I'm not stating with 100% certainty that this is the answer, but they're telling me that your boy Gucci Mane is closeted and HIV positive, and he's engaged to business entrepreneur mogul Keisha Kaur. Y'all know who she is. She's a lipstick beauty gal, right? She's created a lipstick line. BET reportedly just paid them $1 million to document their wedding. But word on the street is that while Gucci was locked up, he was turned out. He's bisexual. He's got HIV, which would explain perhaps his really drastic weight loss. Remember, Gucci Mane went into prison a fat ass. He came out weighing 100 pounds. He told his fans that he just went on a kick-ass diet. Meanwhile, everybody else thinks he's been a victim of MK Ultra death staging. You know, they think that he wasn't compliant to the system. Perhaps that while he was in jail, he was approached by the system to be compliant, to be submissive, like they've done Kanye, who's in the sunken place. Y'all know Kanye is in the sunken place. If you haven't seen Get Out, then you probably don't know the sunken place reference. And if that's the case, that just means that Kanye is crazy, allegedly. He may not even remember his name and his legacy at this point. He's in the sunken place. So rumor has it that Gucci Mane refused to comply. They killed him, and the person that you see posing as Gucci Mane is actually a fraud. Now, listen, the guy that's post-prison Gucci Mane, however you pronounce his name, certainly doesn't look like the guy, in my opinion, that went into prison. Redbeard, what do you think?
The Gucci that went in was a pill popping, weed smoking, lean drinking, Henny sipping, you know what I mean? If it was the popular drug, he was on it before he went in. Now, 2 years of sobriety can change how a person can look. That's just like he basically cleansed himself of all of those toxins by being locked up. Now, as far as the weight loss, you know, I don't know. I don't know nothing about any of the weight loss situations, like being able to say it's like HIV or something like that. I really can't believe that. I just can't see that being possible, because I'm pretty sure the girl that he's with, she would have put that out by now. Something would have hit the fan by now.
Next blind item reveal before we get our guest caller back on the line here to go back into the Hollywood occult and the Arab Jew control of Hollywood. Caller, he's still on the line. Thanks for holding. Khloe Kardashian, allegedly, she's been stalking her ex-boyfriend, James Harden. Is that his name, the ball player? First of all, guys, rumor has it all of Khloe Kardashian's black males, with the exception of Lamar, they're gay, they're closeted. They hire her to be a beard. This is not a secret if you're in the know. Publicly, y'all think James Harden and French Montana and whoever else she's dating, y'all think they're falling down at the feet of this long-haired snow bunny. That's not the case. They're paid to date this woman. Are they bisexual? Perhaps. Are they fully into vagina? Not even.
Nah.
Apparently, word on the street, allegedly, James Harden has had to threaten Khloe Kardashian with a restraining order. Now, my other source tells me it's French Montana. As you know, she's dating Tristan Thomas, allegedly, but she's still stalking one of her exes, and they have warned her, keep it up, and we're going to hit you with a restraining order. My sources tell me it's James Harden. Others say it's French Montana. What do you guys think? Of course, there's still time to call in to talk about this. You're not buying it. 668-8342.
I'm not buying it, man. I just can't buy none of this nonsense at all. Now, that's BS. James Harden, no. Maybe Tristan Thompson, maybe. But James Harden, no. I'm not buying it. A closet, nah.
Now, speaking of our Kardashians, you guys know recently, if you've been keeping up with the pop culture news, Chris Rock was recently on the Wendy Williams show. While on the Wendy Williams show, he praised Lala Anthony. Lala Anthony, as you know, is the soon-to-be ex-wife of, what's her husband's name?
Carmelo.
Carmelo, thank you. They're getting a divorce, allegedly, because of his cheating. Well, allegedly, Chris Rock is obsessed with Kim Kardashian. Kim Kardashian, of course, is an industry whore, okay? And when I say she's an industry mattress, there's no allegedly here, all right? It's no secret. If you can afford to sleep with Kim, if you got the pocketbook, right, you can have Kim Kardashian. Word on the street is that Chris Rock came with that money. He came with some coins. She spread some legs open. Now, when you get in the bed with the witches of Hollywood, the Kardashians, the witches of Hollywood, you know, you're gambling with your life. It's like Russian roulette. They're telling me that they manipulated him into basically they're blackmailing, manipulating this guy. He had to go on to Wendy Williams to push and promote Lala Anthony, okay, because they want to use him on the Kardashian show next season, right? Somehow they want to tie in Chris Rock allegedly into the Kardashian show. Because they don't have Kanye, you know, Kanye was their meal ticket for ratings for the next few seasons. But because he remains in the sunken place, they're hoping Chris Rock will deliver. And allegedly, Kimmy and Lala are really good friends. Kimmy is really pushing Lala to hook up with Chris. Now, Chris was dating, I wrote about this. Chris was dating that business gal. I don't think she's an actress. I think she's she's got her own business. Megan something or the other. She has a long-ass last name. They were together. Rumor has it that she dumped him like a bad habit once she found out he slept with Kim. Then he played.
So how much does it cost to sleep with Kim?
Well, at this point, I'm guessing you better come with at least $500,000, at least.
Man, I might have to start stacking up that bread.
Well, make sure you wrap it up 3 or 4 times. Wrap it up 3 or 4 times.
Yeah. It's all good.
Hollywood Hustle Show. I am your host, Nye McGee, a.k.a. Nye Hollywood. Another
it's
little
your boy.
Hey,
you know what? My bad. For the listeners, sorry that there's no Indy 15 today. We will be back full and strong next week. Hot guest. Sorry about that. And if you want somebody to submit, the email is theindy15@gmail.com. Submit your music, clean music, and you will receive your spotlight date and interview time. So we can get you popping. Hollywood Hustle Show.
Now, our guest that we had on a few minutes ago who was talking about the Jew control of Hollywood, if you were sticking around to hear more of what he had to say, he dropped the call. But if you missed that, if you're just tuning in and you're like, what, Jew control of Hollywood, what are you talking about? You'll have to wait for the rebroadcast and go back and listen to the top of the hour. I'm going to take a quick break, people. I am parched. So we're going to play a quick song and come back. Hollywood Hustle Show, I'm going to drop more blind item reveals. Stay with us.
I'll be
Hollywood Hustle Show, 9 McGee, a.k.a. 9 Hollywood. I wanted to stop that song and get right back into something. The caller who called in to talk about the, you know, the Jewish control of Hollywood, I want to add on to that. Even though he's no longer on the call, I was having this discussion with a couple of my black writer friends this week, okay? Something that we have observed. When black folks tell stories, okay, that are diverse stories and include a diverse cast of characters, one thing I've noticed, and again, this is not anti-anything, this is not anti-Jew, not anti-white, have an open mind and listen to my perspective, people. Don't walk away talking about, oh, she's right, I'm not a racist. I'm speaking from our experiences. The reaction that we get when we, as we try to hustle and be creative, if we're not praising and worshiping whiteness, they don't want our projects, okay? Did y'all see Get Out? Let me give you Get Out for an example. When I sat down to watch Get Out, before I saw it, I said to myself, okay, this is a film made by a black man or a half black man, however you want to put it, Jordan Peele, centers on an interracial relationship. You know, black men love white women. Okay, we get it. And I said to myself, here's what's going to happen. I wonder how long into the film is Jordan Peele going to disrespect black women? Because that's 100% guaranteed in the narrative, when the black male narrative that centers around his love, lust, infatuation with a white woman. Trust me, there's going to be a moment where he throws the black woman under the bus. And Hollywood encourages this, okay? Whether it be the Arab control or the Jewish control, either one of those groups or both of them, co-signed by the Anglo-Saxons, here's what happens. We have Get Out, where there's this moment where Jordan Peele's character, and they deliver, not Jordan Peele, but the black character, he has this moment with the black woman, the only black woman who's, you know, in the sunken place, as you know. And I think he refers to her as a bitch, doesn't he? There's a moment where, throughout the film, where he has these brief moments where he acknowledges her presence, the black character's presence, this black male, a few scenes or a few moments where he acknowledges the presence or the reality of the black female character. There's that snobby kind of that looking down on her, you're not worthy, black woman, reaction that he gives her, okay? Now, that's how it's written. On the flip side, the story centers on a crazy evil white girl, okay? What does Jordan Peele write in the script at the end of the film? If you guys have seen it, because that's not a spoiler, but bear with me here. At the end of the film...
I haven't seen it, so don't spoil it.
Well, I'm not going to spoil it. It's not a spoiler. At the end of the film, the other black character who's trying to save his friend from the powers, the clutches of the evil white family, he's on the phone with the white girl. Now, he's already figured out what's going on. He's on the phone with the white girl. And he's already figured out that this girl's crazy and she's evil. And she's killed a whole bunch of niggas. But what does the black male character... He said,
are you telling the story?
Yeah, I'm not telling the story. He said he calls her a genius, guys. Now, this may be subtle and may mean nothing to you, but when, as I said at the top of the hour, that there's this agenda in Hollywood, this anti-black agenda. Get Out fits the narrative perfectly because we have one scene where the black male character is referring to the black woman as a bitch, and then another scene where we have the black male character referring to the evil white woman as a genius, right? That's that black, that's Hollywood's propaganda to get black folks to worship and fall to your knees at everything white, no matter how good or evil it is. I was telling a friend of mine the other day that a colleague of mine, who's a filmmaker some years ago, wrote a project, a feature-length film, a black film, okay, that centered in an urban community, and it was a positive film. It literally centered on a character who was a little militant. He wasn't racist, but militant in the sense that he was passionate about black rights, black social justice, black love. He wanted to do his part and encourage his brothers and sisters to band together, stop being ignorant, stop killing each other, let's work together, let's build our communities. My friend was telling me that in the script, he has this monologue, the character has this long monologue, where he's telling the community, speaking to the black community about all the things that we could do to evolve, to elevate ourselves, to uplift ourselves out of this rut and stop blaming the system and the white man for all of our problems, okay? At one point in his monologue, he says, and when black men stop dating white women, we could blah, blah, blah. I don't remember what else after that. The point is, the character in the script says, and when black men stop dating white women, we could blah, blah, blah. Well, my friend tells me he submits the film to the Chicago International Film Festival. He receives a letter back from the Chicago International Film Festival telling him, your film is wonderful. We love your film. We want your film to be part of this festival. However, we need you to take out the line where your character says black men need to stop dating white women. You take that line out, we'll accept your film. Now, my friend was telling me on the flip side of that, a film about Nazis, okay, and skinheads and white supremacists, a narrative about white supremacist destruction was accepted into the festival. You see where I'm getting here at, people? We'll the system will accept the Nazi narrative, the skinhead narrative, the white narrative that's anti-black. Oh, we'll accept that into our festival. But the black man who says, oh, no, stop dating white women, oh, no, you know, that's divisive. We can't have that. So, again, if you're just tuning in to the show, I only bring this up because at the top of the hour, we had a surprise caller call into the show and want to address the so-called Jewish control of Hollywood. I mentioned that, from what I've heard, it goes beyond the Jewish culture. It's the Arabs with the money. It's the Arab control of Hollywood. And it's the Arabs pushing this anti-black agenda. And so I just gave you those two examples of how, when you're a black creative, if you're not putting down blackness or worshiping whiteness, they don't want to hear you. If you are a black female creative, if you are not worshiping whiteness or crying over a black man, they don't want to hear you. Hollywood Hustle Show, 646-668-8342. Redbeard?
I am definitely here.
Redbeard, if there was a movie produced about your life, who would you want to play you and why?
If there was a movie about my life, who would I want to play me? Let's see. I would have to say, Omar Epps.
Here we go.
I mean, let me tell you why. It's because we're kind of like one and the same. I always get confused for Omar Epps, no matter
what.
Now,
before you continue, dear listeners, I have to interrupt. I have to interject and tell you something. This is why I said, here we go. Redbeard is about the complexion of Drake, ladies and gentlemen. Okay. He likes to deny his color. He's a shade away from Rob Kardashian, all right? But yet,
man, oh my God, really? Wow.
He looks like Omar Epps, people. He thinks he looks like, you can't tell Redbeard that he don't look like Omar Epps, even though he's the complexion of Drake. But continue, Redbeard. You want Omar to play
you
in your son. You
are absolutely listening to pure hatred on the other end right there. That's hate. You just hate the fact that when I go places, people mistake me for Omar. So anyway, I would have to say Omar would play me the best because since most people already think I'm him, and then I guess that's probably answering the question of who and why and what. Now, if I had a producer, now if you ask me who would I have produce or write, well, who's a good writer? Name a good writer.
As far as my music or films?
Film-wise, that you know that I would know.
Lee Daniels is pretty decent.
Okay.
Let's take Lee Daniels to write it.
Let's take him to
Let's have Quentin Tarantino write it.
Well, see, that's what I was thinking as far as, okay, so writing and producing, that's not the same, right? Or is it the same?
No. Well, the writer certainly, if they want to produce too, but if you want somebody to know, a writer actually writes the story. A producer
right, exactly.
would be like
okay,
Brian Grazer, you know, Ron Howard. So here's what we'll do.
Right.
We'll have Brian Grazer and Ron Howard produce the movie about your life, starring Omar Epps and written by Quentin Tarantino.
Oh, that'll be hot.
It'll be hot.
That'll be hot.
Now, guys, I have another blind item. As you guys know, Bill Cosby's trial began this week, right? Bill Cosby, who's been accused of raping 1,000 white women back in the 1940s, he's now being put on trial for it in this century. They're telling me, now, as you know, if you've been following it, he has a lot of celebrity supporters hand-in-hand with him, accompanying him, to the trial, and Keisha Knight Pulliam, his former TV daughter from the, you know, Cosby Show, joined him this week. I posted a blind item on EUR Web, and it says, you know, as the Bill Cosby trial spins up, there's a Hollywood star who is considering testifying on his behalf. Now, why? Why is this Hollywood star, before I name who people are saying it is, now, while most of Cosby's old pals want nothing to do with him, and they're trying hard to distance themselves from the trial, this one pal may actually step up and defend Cosby, not because he feels sorry for him, not because he wants to support his longtime friend, but because he is scared that he is going to get dragged into the discussion about what they used to do together back in the day to get these girls to have sex with them. He is afraid that his name is going to come out during this trial, that him and Cosby used to drug and sleep with white women while they were unconscious. Now, I have to use the word sleep because I know I'm a member of the black community, and the black community does not like to use the word rape and black men in the same sentence, especially Bill Cosby, okay? And where proof of this was with that film, Birth of the Nation. You know, last year, the filmmaker, I forget his name, even though there's transcripts of him saying, yeah, I pretty much did you and put my penis in your mouth while you were drunk and unconscious. Nobody considers that rape but me. So for the sake of not being vilified by my own people, I will say Bill Cosby and this certain person drugged and slept with these white women. On the low, I'm going to whisper, they raped them. Anyway, this so-called Bill Cosby supporter, he wants a guarantee that if he stands up for Bill, Bill's attorneys will keep him from getting accused of anything. It would be kind of like getting immunity. The deal isn't done yet, so we'll have to stay tuned. So who am I talking about, people? They claim it's Steve Harvey.
Steve Harvey?
You seem shocked by that, Red Deer. The tone of your voice, you seem a little disturbed, perplexed. Does that surprise you?
No. It just surprises me, actually. But at the same time, I could see Steve Harvey doing something like that. The way you led into it, that was brilliant because I was not thinking Steve Harvey. I'm like, what?
allegedly, Steve Harvey may show up and support. If Steve Harvey shows up and support this trial, Lord only knows how long this trial is going to go on. So every day this week, Cosby has had some sort of celebrity guest with him, supporting him as he goes to court. If Steve Harvey shows up, then you'll know that this blind item that I speak is true.
Right, right.
And it makes you wonder. Now, this part is true. Steve Harvey has been working overtime for a number of years to prevent old stand-up footage of himself from being released to the public. Now, when Steve was an up-and-coming comic doing stand-up, he still had a name for himself. He wasn't as big as he is now. But there's footage from him back in the day being very anti-white. I haven't seen any of the footage. I've done several reports about this footage because the filmmaker, the guy who owns the footage, this guy, as the story goes, as legend has it, and I'll make it quick because we only have like a minute and 50 seconds left in the show, The filmmaker used to follow Bill Cosby on his stand-up trail, his comedy trail. He's got hundreds of hours of footage of not Cosby, of Steve Harvey, being on stage doing his act, being very anti-white. Steve has been fighting tooth and nail trying to prevent these this documentary, because the filmmaker wants to turn it into a documentary about Steve's rise to fame. Steve doesn't want the documentary to come out because he's convinced it's so bad it's going to ruin his career. So they tell me a couple weeks ago Steve was at the Daytime Emmy and he was booed. It appears that Steve Harvey's reign in Hollywood, between cheating on his wife, all of his wives, the mistresses, the potential the co-rape with Cosby, it seems his past is catching up with him. Perhaps his attitude, his diva-like antics, and Hollywood is fed up. Hollywood Hustle Show, people, it's Friday, 30 seconds left in the show. Thanks for tuning in. We're going to see you back here next Wednesday and next Thursday, next Wednesday and Friday. I know that I said this week I was going to talk about how you could submit for to be considered to lend your voice to my audio drama coming up. I'll give those details next week. And Redbeard, quickly give them the Indy 15 email address.
Indy15@gmail.com. Submit your music or whatever it is that you're into to get your spotlight on the Indy 15 next Wednesday. We back at it with all new guests. So holla at me, Indy15@gmail.com.
All right, people, happy Friday. That's the end of the show. We will see you guys next week. More blind item reveals coming up next Friday. If you are on EUR web right now and you're reading the blind items, if there's a blind item you want to reveal to, call me up next week, email me on the low, and I'll get that answer to you. Nine Hollywood signing out. Have a happy weekend, you guys. Safe weekend. And save up your bail money just in case you got to call Mr. Boo Man or, your Instagram boo to bail you out. Peace.
Peace.